2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's read together verses 1 through 10. Let me get a different New Bible, because my version is always different than you all, and I end up messing you up. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Let's pray. Lord, I do ask you that you would take this truth that is here and cause it to live in us, your people. Oh, we need to hear from you. We need to be refreshed by the truth. We need the water of your word to wash over us and invigorate us. We need the bread of your word to feed us and give us strength. We need to have our eyes opened to see more clearly what you say, so that we can live our lives in ways that glorify you and truly are enjoyable because we are enjoying you. I pray, Lord, that you would open this word to us here today. Give to your people that which each one needs. We are all here in our own little ways in need of hearing from you. And we ask you that you will do that. In the name of Jesus, amen. This passage that we have before us is not unfamiliar to most of us. We've heard it before. And it comes right on the heels of Paul's speaking about some people who had worked with him. At the end of chapter 1, we see there that there were those who had been faithful to God. This man, Onesiphorus, and his family. But then there were also those who had been unfaithful. And that's been the case since time of Adam and Eve. There are those who are faithful and those who are not faithful. And that's been true in the church. There are those who are faithful and those who are not faithful. It's true in Christian ministry. There are those who are faithful and those who are not faithful. And Paul felt the sting of that in his own life. He wasn't immune to the disappointment, the rejection, and the consequences of other people's failures. He was affected by it, and he knew that in at least in a temporary way, the work of God was affected also by the failure of other people's unfaithfulness to carry out what God had given them to do. He's writing to his protege, his son in the faith, and he does not want Timothy to be one of the unfaithful ones. And that was always a danger. And it's a danger for all of us here. Until we breathe our last, we must not take for granted our own faithfulness. We must say, as Paul says in several places, that he keeps himself under control, lest he himself becomes cast away, that he becomes an unfaithful, an unprofitable servant. So he begins this chapter. It's been divided into chapters. He didn't think of it in terms of chapters, but he begins this next section, this paragraph here, at the beginning of chapter 2, with a command to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that is the only kind of strength that really matters. There are some of us that have strength of character. We have strength of personality. We have been born, or we've been reared in such a way that we are strong people. And we can see a task before us, and we can make sure it gets done. We know how to move people to accomplish goals that we have or that have been given to us. Strong personalities. There are those who are strong in endurance, and they just keep going and going on very little sleep or very little energy input. They are people who are just naturally able to endure. There are those who are strong physically. But all that ultimately does not count for eternity. The only kind of strength that counts is the strength that comes through the grace of God. And you and I may be very weak, actually, in personality, in our leadership abilities, our abilities to influence other people. We may be very weak in our determination or our abilities or physical strength or whatever. But if we have the strength that comes through the grace of God, then we are people of impact, and we are people who are pleasing God. Be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you and I are going to make it to the very end in a way that reflects the glory of God. That our ability to endure is not because we've got a lot of willpower. It's because of God's grace. We may be able to keep up an act to the very end. We may be able to be religious to the very end. We may be able to be doing good things to the very end. But we will not be those kinds of people that are truly reflecting the character and nature of God unless we are doing it in the grace that is from the Lord Jesus Christ, His strength. And part of, I think, our struggle, I'm speaking for myself, I guess, part of our struggle is to know what we're doing in our own strength and what we're doing in the strength that comes from the grace of God. And I think, personally, I think that we learn the difference as we keep seeking to live in the grace of God and the strength that comes from Him. I think we find over time that as we walk with Him, we begin to understand that which is really coming from ourselves and that which is coming from our reliance upon God. I don't think there's an easy answer. But this is the command that Paul gives to Timothy, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And to every one of us here, God would say the same thing. The strength that you need to face your particular issues, your particular circumstances, is not going to come from the strength of your intellect or of your willpower. If you're going to do it in the way that God says, you must find the way to get strength from Him. You must, and you can, and if you're a child of God, you will. Eventually, through many, perhaps, misfires, you're going to find a way to get strength from God to deal with your circumstances. Because God is there to teach you and guide you. You're not left alone in this thing. God knows how to feed His children. And somehow He's going to make sure that you get enough nutrition to live the way that He wants you to live. That's God's commitment. We can live this life. We can overcome the seemingly impossible situations that we're in as we learn to draw upon the strength that comes from God and from God alone. And I appeal to you as brothers and sisters in Christ to have your own struggles and situations that are seemingly, you know, just huge mountains in your life, and they're depressing, and you don't know how you're going to keep doing it. You don't know how you're going to face this, and you're looking at projecting into the future. How am I going to keep doing this? I can't. I don't think I can face it. Be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have begun by faith. You've begun by God's grace. You have received His grace. We express that here in this communion together. Now you have received His grace. Keep being strong and draw on the strength that comes from God's gift, His favor to you. You can run the race to the end. You can run the race to the end. And that's what Paul here commands Timothy. Because Paul had as a goal, and he gives this to Timothy as also one who is called by God to be a minister of the gospel. That is, one who is called to be a teacher, an example, one to be an influence upon the lives of others for the kingdom of God. The goal is to transmit the truth faithfully to others, who will then be able to transmit it faithfully to others, and so on, until the last one has been brought into the family of God. As Paul says it at the end, down here in verse 10, he says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The goal is that the last member of the bride of Christ is brought into the family of God, and it is complete. The salvation that Jesus came to bring is now given to all those that God has chosen. That's Paul's desire, that the bride be completed, that the temple be finished. And so he says, that's why I go through all this, because I want to see God's glory manifested in His bride, to see His temple finished so that God's glory, His Shekinah, will illuminate it. And all of the beauty and wonder of God there in the book of Revelation, as God shines in His glory through that bejeweled and wonderful and spectacular temple that He is building out of the likes of us. And Paul says, I want to see that happen. He had a vision beyond just his local area. He had a vision beyond just his own ministry. He wanted to see the bride of Christ, the whole elect of God, the chosen of God, brought into the family of God. And that meant that he was going to have to transmit that to others. He wasn't going to be able to do it himself. And that was going to have to spread through the transmission of the gospel from mouth to mouth until the last person belonging to God is brought into God's family. And that's what missions is. What Paul says here, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We are to proclaim that message of salvation and God's grace to the ends of the earth. Not so that we can show that we are part of the winning team, or that we are going to somehow fulfill ourselves by conquering the impossible, but so that God's glory might be fully manifested in His people, all of His people. And so that is the goal then that Paul says to Timothy. We want to transmit faithfully the truth to others, who will be able to transmit it to others, so that the kingdom of God might expand and fulfill the great commission, and the last person comes into the family of God. In order to do that, he says, those who are commissioned by God to be transmitters of this good news must be reliable men. They must be loyal to the truth. They must be, as the King James says, faithful men. They must be those who have a passion for the truth of God and who will consistently proclaim it. They must be faithful, loyal, reliable, and they must also be qualified to teach others. That is, they must be gifted in some way to communicate the message of Christ. Now, I think in the context of this letter, Paul is thinking of people like Timothy who were committed and called of God to be full-time in the proclamation of the gospel, or at least that was to be their vocation, and then they might have to do some other things in order to make a living for themselves, as Paul did as a tent maker. But nevertheless, their passion was, their calling in life was to pastor, to teach, to instruct, to build up the church. And certainly that applies for those of us here in these rooms that are called of God to spend our energy and our time in this proclamation of the gospel, that we are to make sure that we ourselves are loyal and reliable and faithful to carrying on the truth of God, to make sure that we are speaking God's truth. That's what must be transmitted. And we must also make sure that we are teaching and communicating within the gifts that God has given to us, that we are fulfilling our calling and not trying to be more than we're called to be, or being less than we're called to be. We must find our place in the body of Christ and fulfill that goal that God has given to us as individuals within His kingdom. And so I think that's the primary message here. And there are those of you here who have a desire to be involved in the work of Christ. And I remember as a very young man having that far-off dream. We went through a lot of twists and turns, but I had that inkling way back when I was a teenager of doing that. But God had to work in my life, and He has to work in each one of our lives, to make sure that we become reliable and loyal and faithful men and women. And then the gifts that He's given to us will be properly exercised if we remain faithful to Him. So those of you who have that desire, these two qualifications are necessary: to be loyal to the Word of God, faithful and committed to His truth, and then by God's grace, taking the opportunity to find what your gifts are, where you are to plug into God's work in the world. And I remember for myself, I've shared this before, I remember as a high school student, I think I must have been 11th grade, I was asked by people in my the Sunday school superintendent, whoever it was, to ask if I would teach 5th grade boys. It's 5th grade boys class, and there were about 6 of them in the class. I still remember that class, and that was the beginning, and I found I really liked it. And they seemed to respond to me, and that was the beginning of my sort of getting a taste of communicating the truth, transmitting the truth of Jesus Christ to others. Take the opportunities that you're given to find what God would have you do. So that's, I think, the primary application. But I think that this extends beyond just those who are called to be have that be their focus in life. To those of us who are parents, you are called to transmit the truth of God accurately and reliably to your children. To those of us who are Sunday school teachers or club workers, or in other ways you are a witness on your job or in your school, you are to be accurately communicating the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the desire is to find those who are faithful, who will hear the message and then be able to communicate it to others also accurately, because you've given it to them accurately. So that's the application for all of us. We are all in some ways to be witnesses. It's not just for the professional class of ministers or Christian workers. It is for all of us to be witnesses to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to be one who is reliable. That means you must know what the book says, so that you can communicate it accurately. And you must find your God-given way to to be a witness. It's going to be different for all of us. But he has a way for us. So here's what he says then, for those who are involved in witnessing, being a witness, a transmitter of the good news of Christ, whether it's on a full-time or vocational level, or whether it's on a more informal way, or involved in church ministry in some way. There are these three disciplines that are to be characteristic of those who would disciple others. First, there is the discipline of purpose there in verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. In those days, a commander would be given, or a general would be given the responsibility to raise an army, and he had to go out and solicit men to become part of his army. And so there was a personal call and a personal loyalty to that commanding officer. And therefore, Paul says, look, when you're doing that, you've been called by the commanding officer to be part of his army, then you leave your vocation, you leave your farm, you leave your families, and you now have a focus, and that is to carry out the orders that are given to you by your commanding officer. And you don't have time anymore to go back about business as usual. You now are called to fulfill this goal in your life. And this is not simply for those who are called out into full-time ministry. This is for all of us. We are told not to love the world or to become entangled in the affairs of this life. We're not to be holding it tightly, pursuing after the success that the world offers. We are to be single-minded in purpose. We are not to become distracted and seek to build up our own kingdom or the kingdom of this world. And there are lots of kingdoms you can build. And there are lots of people that want you to help them build their company, their dream. Or you have your own that you would like to build. And Paul says to Timothy, look, if you're going to be the one who is faithfully communicating the truth to others, you've got to show that your priorities are straight. That you're not chasing after the buck. They say that in China, which is an atheistic country by law, by constitution, that their God is the dollar. And that is not to be the case. Of course, that's true here also in America. But that's not to be our pursuit. We're not to get distracted in trying to build bigger and better and more comfortable lifestyle for ourselves. And I know that has a lot of issues surrounding it. But nevertheless, there is this to be our passion. Our goal is to be single-minded in pursuing the goals of our commander-in-chief. And his is to proclaim his name and to bring glory to his name throughout the whole earth, to build up his body so that his body will be a witness to the whole world. And so we are to be single-minded in our purpose. Yes, we have to do other things, and of course this is not something where you say, well, you got to spend so many hours in, you know, church work, and you got to spend so much time doing this and that and go to so many. That's not what we're hearing in this place. What we're learning from the Word of God is that our heart, if it's directed towards God and we are putting our focus upon him, then although we have to do other things and we need to do them well, and Paul commands servants to work hard for their masters, to do a good job, to work hard and all that. So we're to do that. But yet in the midst of that, they're seeing a greater purpose. That is for the glory of God, to be a faithful witness to God. So even though they're studying and we're to study and to work and all that, still underneath it all is to be the motive that I want to do it. For the glory of God, I want to see his kingdom expand, and we can't do that except with the grace that comes from God. Can't do it. That motive must come from God. But if you're a child of God, the Spirit of God in you will give you the way to make that happen. Keeping single-minded in purpose. There's the discipline of purpose. Secondly, there's the discipline of obedience. In verse 5, If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. There is to be the obedience to God's standards. Because if we don't, if we teach only truth, but don't live the truth, if we don't obey what we say, then we are not communicating accurately and faithfully the message that God has given to us. We are not faithful disciples or faithful transmitters of the truth. And although we all fail in varying degrees, there is the passion, the desire, the longing to live that out. And there is the need for repentance and forgiveness, need for accountability, to enable us to be those who live this life according to the work of God accomplished in us, that His law is written on our hearts, and so we want to do what God says. And so we live life according to God's standard, but it's not slavishly out of fear, but it's as we saw in the Fear of God class, it's out of a love for God, loving Him and wanting to please Him. And so we will be faithful if we are those who live our lives according to God's standard. And then thirdly, there is to be the discipline of hard work. The farmer is the example. He says, verse 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. God is the one who brings the increase. And the responsibility of the farmer is to work hard at what he does. And not say, well, you know what I'm doing here, you know, my little plot of land is not really worth doing. You know, it probably won't even rain this year anyway, so what's the use of planting, you know? I don't think anything's going to happen. That's not the responsibility of the farmer. The responsibility of the farmer is to plant and to keep on planting, to till the soil, to prepare it, to weed it, to fertilize it. And the result is in God's hands. And we will be faithful men and women if we continue to work hard and not look at simply the results that we can see, but to trust that we're part of what God is doing. And He's going to make it count for eternity. But we are not to be lazy. We are not to be people who quit because the work is hard. If we're driven by what we can see as success, then really we're serving ourselves and not God, because we're simply doing it for the visible results that we can see or that others can see. It's satisfying our own desire of feeling important. And I know what that's about. But God's standard is that we continue to work even if there appears to be no real success. If we are being faithful to Him and we are qualified, we are seeking God's kingdom first, and we are seeking to work within the gifts that God has given to us and the calling that He's given to us, but there doesn't seem to be much happening, we can trust that God will bring the results. In the clubs and Pioneer Girls and Stockade, and looking at the boys that were there on the camping trip and thinking, boy, you know, they've heard, you know, the Bible stories and teaching from Scripture, some of these kids for several years. And you wonder what's happening. You know, is there anything going on there? I mean, are these kids really being brought to Christ? I don't know. God's the one who writes the last chapter. The responsibility for the people in Pioneer Girls and Boys Brigade, Sunday School and all the rest is not to say, well, nobody is, you know, I don't see anything happening here. So I'm quitting. If you're doing what God wants you to do, and you believe that God's given you gifts and that's been confirmed by others, even if you don't see tangible results at this point, you be a hardworking farmer, and God will bring the results. He will reward those who are faithful to the task assigned, not who are the most gifted or who are at the time of harvest that God gives, but those who are being faithful to carry out their responsibility. Those are the ones that receive the reward. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 23 and 24, Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Over in chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever, and it's not restricted to one person. Verse 26. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Now he's talking, this is in the context of giving, but I think it's applicable also to the matter of service or working, seeking to communicate the gospel, the truth of God to our family and to others that he gives us contact with. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And then Galatians chapter 6. Verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You and I are called to become witnesses. We are witnesses to the truth. We are to live that out. We are to be those who are faithful to that truth. We are to be single-minded in purpose. We are to be those who are exercising the discipline of purpose. We're to be those who are not living for ourselves, but seeking to please God, and so we are following His commands to us, turning from that which would entice us back to disobedience and to live faithfully before Him. We are to exercise the discipline of obedience. We are those who are to exercise the discipline of hard work. And God will give the results. I don't know where any of us here stands in our relationship to God, but I do know that no one can stand before Him without His grace, without His favor resting upon us. And the only way we have God's favor is because of Jesus. And if you say that you are in God's favor now, you're standing in His favor, it's because you can say that you are standing underneath the protection of Christ's death on your behalf. And if you are standing there, if you're saying that you're trusting in Christ for His grace to forgive you of your sins, then you must also be saying that you are standing in the grace of God's, of Christ's resurrection. That is the power to live in a way that is single-minded in purpose, that is obedient in practice, and that is faithful in working for the glory and kingdom of God. They go together. You stand in God's grace, and we live and work in God's grace. Let's pray. None of us here can stand before you without being terrified to the very core. If we are to stand on the basis of our own accomplishments or our good, supposed good moral character, we are people who are born in sin and who prove it by the way that we live. But because of your grace, O God, because of your work, your benefit to us in Christ, we who don't deserve it can stand before you with confidence. And Lord, because this is a supernatural work of yours in giving us your Spirit, we can say we want to be involved in what you're doing on the earth, to see the task completed, to see the last member of your body brought into relationship with you. And so, Lord, we want to be involved in what you're doing. And for those here whom you are calling to work full-time, to work, to give their whole lives devoted over to the building up of your kingdom in a very specific way, I pray that each one will be sure that they are faithful to what you have given in your word, that they know your truth and are speaking it, and that they are also those who are finding what you want them to do, the way that you have gifted them. And for the rest of us, we pray that we might be faithful to carry out, not become entangled in the stuff that we have to deal with every day, with our jobs, with school, with our families, that can be so all-encompassing and swallow us up and tangle our lives up so that we have no time or energy or thought left for what you're doing on the earth. But Lord, we want to do everything that we do as part of that great privilege that we have to be those who are your witnesses, who are communicating your gospel, your truth to those around us. Lord, I pray that we will see how we can do that and do it with joy, do it faithfully, do it obediently, do it faith and with hard work to the very end. Lord, grant that, I pray. And for those here who do not know you, I pray, Lord, that you would open their minds and hearts to receive the truth, and you'll grant them repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.